The scriptures tell us, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, forgive and you will be forgiven. As blessed and forgiven children of God, let us join together in the call to worship. Take delight in the Lord, and God will give you the desires of your heart. Let us commit our way to the Lord and trust in God. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for God. We gather as God's beloved children to give ourselves in praise. Come, friends, let us worship God. Please join us in hymn 555, Now Thank We All Our God. Join me as we confess who we are. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that free from sin we might live for righteousness. Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sin. God of subversive love, you tell us to turn the other cheek, but we lash out against enemies. You tell us to give others our coats, but we demand that they stop freeloading. You tell us to love everyone, but we love people only when it's easy. You tell us to lend without interest, but our economy thrives by making money off the poor. Forgive us, merciful one, for these sins. Help us to resist the standards of our culture that fly in the face of the standards you have given us. Amen. We are assured of whose we are. Brother and sisters, hear this good news. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Therefore, I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
Now let the peace of our Lord rule in your hearts, for to this peace we are called as members of Christ's body. May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Please extend that peace to those around you with a wave or a nod, and then you may be seated.
I'm sorry. It's okay. If you would like to do your lesson as you had planned, you are welcome to, but there are no children.
No, we're not going
to
do it. Okay. The prayer for illumination. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Old Testament reading comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 45, verses 3 to 11, and verse 15. It is a piece of the story of Joseph. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come closer to me. And they came closer. He said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me here before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land for these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it is not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him.
Thank you. Such a beautiful prayer. Thank you, choir. Last week we began a section of chapter 6 of Luke's gospel, and today we pick up where we left off. And Jesus said, "Do not judge." Excuse me. And Jesus said, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good. And lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Doesn't the advice Jesus offers us here feel worn out? A bit frustrating, maybe? Year after year of Bible lessons, or perhaps our inner parental voices, repeat these words to us over and over again. But anymore, it's as if those words are falling on deaf ears in our society. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do to others as you would have them do to you. It's so much the same old, same old. But nowadays, these phrases aren't simply boring. They're dangerous. Repeat the golden rule to someone who's behaving badly in the grocery store, and she'll not just look at you like you're crazy. She'll probably haul off and hit you. Well, maybe not hit you, but at least give you a stern talking to. They will do as they please. Now, New Yorkers have always been known for their blunt mannerisms. And I remember how shocked I was when first treated to such behavior when I lived on the East Coast. Philadelphia, Wilmington, not that far from New York, there was a lot of boldness, shall we say. But that was then. That was there. And this is the here and now. No wonder most of us pull our shells around ourselves and only poke our heads out when we're among people who share the same beliefs we do. Life is so much less complicated around them. But darn it, less complicated is not what Jesus is about. No, in three different ways, he tells his listeners it simply isn't good enough to love or do good or lend or to those who would do likewise to you. And in an indirect way, he equates people who do just that for people who are like them are actually turning their backs on God. Now remember, Jesus is still where we left him last Sunday on the plain, on the level plain. Yeah, he spent the previous night on top of a mountain in deep conversation with God, and before coming back downhill, he called 12 of his students to serve as apostles. And once back on the flats, Jesus was engulfed by hordes of people, hoping he would heal their diseases and purge their spirits from evil demons. And power flew out of him until all were healed. That's when he began talking about who was blessed and who wasn't. Everyone in the crowd probably heard him, but his words were specifically spoken as a lesson to his closest disciples. No one expected he'd upend the apple cart by telling the socially prominent rich that they need to take a second look at themselves and the ways in which they lived. But that is exactly what he did. He told them that if he kept up their ways, they'd better enjoy whatever they had now, for their future was going to be bleak. Words like those certainly were not helping him make friends or influence people in high places. So he's still on the plain, on the same level as the poor and the hungry, the sick and the lame. And he's still talking to his disciples, only now, with the first few words of today's reading, he means to include anyone within earshot. At first, Jesus had pointed his lesson to his closest followers, his disciples, but it's like he wanted them to hear that lesson so that they could repeat it later. If others heard, that had been okay, but for the first pass, it was all about the disciples. They'd be the ones helping other people, later people, to understand Jesus' way after he was gone. But now he is opening his teaching up. He wants everyone to be exposed to this new perspective on life. Can you imagine how confusing it must have felt to hear "love your enemies" for the first time? These are people who had lived for generations within a very rigid social system. The wealthy rulers had so many more privileges than the ordinary Joes did. In order to merely survive, everyday people had to virtually barricade themselves emotionally apart from enemies who'd curse and kick them while stealing bread off of their tables. And here's Jesus saying they should offer their other cheek to be slapped by an abuser. Love my enemies? Love them as if they are members of my inner circle of friends and family? Really? No. No. But what then? You know, we English speakers often use one word to mean a variety of ideas, and love is one of those words. We translate the ancient Greek words eros, philios, and agapos as love. And here, Jesus uses the word agapos, which, again, we translate to mean love. But agapos is about an active feeling of benevolence or compassion to others. Agapos is seeking the highest good for another person, no matter whether in your minds that person deserves it or not. A Agapas doesn't allow retaliation against someone because she's done you wrong. Yeah, we think an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, is a prescription for equal justice. But that whole idea was actually brought around to prevent retribution. You see, back in the day, before that rule came into being, people were actually killing people who stole that loaf of bread off of a table to feed their own family. Crazy out of proportion repayment, yeah? Retaliation is not good. Agapas is an act of will, an act of will through which we do what's best for others as well as for ourselves. It's actively doing unto others as we would have them do. It's acting with compassion for the least of these when we don't really want to. And that pushes me. I want to be compassionate, but I don't want to be taken advantage of. And there have been moments when that has happened. Because someone finagled his way into a new tattoo, because the church I was then serving had footed his utility bill, I'm pretty hesitant to write checks in support of individuals in need. And yes, the church's check was to the utility company. We'd done our due diligence. The point is, sometimes following Jesus is painfully complicated. But Agapas doesn't ignore a transgression either. To make things more confusing, Jesus is not saying to tell an abuser, "Forget about it, it's okay." We aren't to let anyone off the hook and walk away. Forgiving someone and forgetting about it cheapens grace. And grace is a gift from God through us to others. Instead, the agapas Jesus is talking about demands we act with kindness and fairness in a way that balances the relationship between yourself and the other person. It brings us back to that level plane. And like I said, that's complicated. For Jesus, agapas goes even further than any behavior we might ordinarily imagine. Those who hear his voice are to not simply do as they would want done. Those who hear his voice are to do as God would do. We are to act with mercy, the mercy that our Father in heaven has given to us. Talk about raising the bar. That is a whole new standard of behavior to live up to. As theologian William Barclay writes, and I quote, "The very essence of Christian conduct is that it consists not in refraining from bad things, but in actively doing good things." The significance of the wrong does not matter. When faced with an arsonist or a murderer or a liar or a cheat, we are expected to treat others in the way we expect to be treated. In truth, we are to try to become as compassionate as is Jesus. Jesus, who gave himself for our well-being. Jesus, who isn't merely another person. Jesus, who is God. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Is this lesson, are these words, really the same old? Not hardly. And verse 38 of our reading tells us why. It says, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good portion, packed down, firmly shaken, and overflowing, will fall into your lap. The portion you give will determine the portion you receive in return." If you've ever baked a pie, and I know that several of you are fine bakers, you'll understand the metaphor of the packed down measure. Brown sugar packs down, right? Recipes say to be sure to pack it well into a cup. Flour, though, does not pack. Not only will the measure be incorrect if you try to pack it down, and baking chemistry is chemistry that you have to follow, or else it's going to blow up on you. Well, actually, if you try to pack the flour down, it's going to blow back on your face, too. What a mess. Jesus' point is that God's compassion, God's mercy, God's agapas isn't given out from a lightly filled cup. Crazy though it may seem, God packs the cup of grace to full and overflowing. It's flying out everywhere. Can you see it getting all over your faces? God loves going way beyond our concept of enough. God offers those who listen to Jesus' voice an abundance of agapas, more than we deserve. Jesus went up on the mountain to pray, and when he came back down, he gathered his students around him, named the 12 apostles, and began to teach them to follow his way of life. This way was diametrically opposed to the way ordinary society operated. It was the way of living in compassionate community together. It was the way of actively doing good for all that he met, just as God was doing good for them. It was the way of agapas. And as Jesus' modern day disciples, it is the way that we too are to live. May it be so. You may remain seated as we sing "We're Across the Crowded Ways of Life." Mindy, do you have any extra instructions?
No. Okay. Please enjoy singing with me. It's number 408.
From human grief and
She's taller than I am. Please turn to the front of your hymnal to page 15 and stand. We are going to read the Ecumenical Nicene Creed together. Oh, I guess you're supposed to sit. Well, I'm having you stand. I was tired of sitting. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God of God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Before we come into a moment of prayer, I made a few phone calls this morning, two calls and a text, and have communicated with Elva Frick, and Dave is continuing to have problems, and they still haven't heard back to get that. Shall we pray? Oh, good and gracious God, you spoke and all things came into being. You make ice and snow fall. You freeze the waters and make them flow again. Through your power, life is freed and fulfilled. We thank you for all of these things, and most especially for your word, who was with you from the beginning and who came to be with us to help us live on the level plane as you would have us do. Hear us now as we lift up to you the world. We ask that you shelter the earth with clouds, nurture the soil with sun, make rain fall on places devastated by drought, and hold back the showers that have overfilled our nearby banks until the ground can again absorb the liquid of life. We pray for your church, Christ's earthly body. Guide its members in their daily lives so that we might find ways to help bring good into this amazing world and to its people. Send us out as caretakers and peacemakers so that all will know your compassion and concern. We especially pray for our sister congregations in Kimbolton, Senecaville, Carrollton, and Malta. Strengthen them so that they might faithfully serve in your fields, nurturing those who live there. Forgiving God, today we ask you, teach us to love our enemies. Be with them, guard them from harm, and guide them in the way of your light as you do for us. We pray, too, that you will save us from self-righteousness so that we might not offer cheap grace, but find ways to humbly enter into the kind of relationships you ask us to have. Living Lord, today we wonder if the world is on the brink of war. So we pray that you will heal the hearts of those who rattle sabers, as well as those who act defensively out of fear. Support the leaders of nations in ways that will help them lead justly and with hope for peace to reign in their lands. Merciful Creator, we beg that you comfort the sick and those in pain. Make whole the lonely, and heal the hearts of those whose relationships have been broken. We especially lift up those we name in our own hearts now. Trusting in your never-failing wisdom and loving kindness, we commend into your hands all for whom we pray this day. And we do so through Jesus, your Son, our Lord, who taught all of his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Please stand and join me in the hymn, His Eye is on the Sparrow. The words are we'll call it the insert that you received today. And I know.
and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eyes on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path he leadeth, but one step I may see. And I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow. And I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. And I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when song gives place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
I don't know if you can see it, but up here in this beautiful arrangement, there is a sparrow's nest. The sparrow is flying free. And I invite all of you to fly free too, to go and fly out into the world, sharing God's agapas, the kind of love that demands you exceed your wildest expectations and soar to the heights of heavens that God inhabits. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. Love your enemies. Live the agapas way of Christ. And go knowing that the love that is God, the graciousness that is Christ Jesus himself, and the community that draws us together with the Holy Spirit goes with you this day and always. Amen and amen.
May the peace of God surround you. May his love your spirit.